It's Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams. A big white diamond is a lot like the moon when you think about it. Both shine with romance and mysterious power. They look beautiful, timeless, untouchable. It was technology that took us to the moon, and the gemstone equivalent of the moonshot would be using technology to make diamonds in a laboratory, diamonds that are pure enough and large enough to go on an engagement ring. Scientists are getting really close, it said. NPR's Nell Boyce went to one secret lab to see how.
Apollo Diamond operates out of a building so boring, you wouldn't look twice if you drove past. Still, to go here, you have to promise never to reveal the location. Apollo president Bryant Linares leads the way through the company's front office, past some cubicles and into a back room.
So you want to see some diamonds growing?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go over on the side over here.
Diamonds have a special allure, and yet they're basically just plain old carbon atoms stuck together in a certain pattern. They're so simple that scientists have long fantasized about building them from scratch. First, they tried mimicking the high temperatures and pressures that produce diamond deep within the earth. That reliably made yellow diamonds and diamond grit that's useful for things like grinding tools. But it didn't work well for dazzling white diamonds. So some people said, hey, forget about trying to copy nature. Let's take a different approach. That's the one you'll find here, at Apollo Diamond. Plastic sheets hang from the ceiling. Linares pulls one back and shows me a diamond growing machine.
It's a vacuum chamber. It's a large stainless steel can with viewports, which look like viewports in a submarine. You look into and see the diamond growth.
Linares flips a switch. A metal screen lifts away from the viewport, and a shockingly bright light streams out. Inside, I can see a cylindrical platform shaped like a soda can. The whole platform glows red hot. On top of it, there's a few little chips of diamond, like fingernail clippings. And above them, hovering there, is a glowing white cloud, about the size and shape of a softball. It looks unearthly.
That cloud is what's called a plasma. It's similar to the type of gas that surrounds a star like the sun.
This plasma is made by superheating a gas. The heat frees up carbon atoms that can then jump out and go somewhere more stable, like a diamond crystal. The carbon atoms rain down from the plasma cloud onto the diamond chips. That slowly builds up the diamonds, atom by atom.
When you see a diamond growth process happening, it is astonishing. I think the act of, you know, making diamonds is something so new and so radically different that, you know, when you do see it for the first time, it is rather stunning.
Linares says within days, you can get raw diamonds large enough to cut into small gemstones. You can't just leave them in longer to grow enormous, because impurities creep in over time. Back in his office, Linares shows off a pendant necklace and a ring.
What we grow is chemically, physically, and optically identical to what comes out of the earth. It is 100% diamond.
But it's not 100% identical to natural diamond that you dig out of the ground. That's what I found out when I borrowed two of Apollo's diamonds and took them to New York City's famous Diamond District. Crowds of tourists come here to gawk at the huge gems in every window. But this place seems just as secretive as Apollo. Beefy men stand outside almost every door. If they see a microphone, they'll politely suggest you go elsewhere.
Well, I don't know if they're going to look at the court, but I don't know if they will.
One dealer did agree to appraise my diamonds, if I didn't record him. I didn't tell him they were synthetic. He said one was too small to be worth much. The other was just slightly off color. But even after peering at them through a little magnifying glass, he had no idea they were man-made. But then I took them about a block away to the International Gemological Institute, a well-known diamond certification lab. David Weinstein explained that here they have special equipment that can tell a natural diamond from a synthetic.
This is all done in a laboratory environment where, you know, we look very carefully and we're looking for, you know, subtle differences that say there's something unusual here.
I give Weinstein my two gems, not telling him where they came from. He and his colleague Mark Yakubov perform a variety of tests. They drop the diamonds into a styrofoam cup and blast them with liquid nitrogen, then put them into a machine that zaps them with pulses of ultraviolet light. subtle differences in Apollo Diamond's atomic structure affect how the gems interact with light. Yakubov says, with no doubt, these are synthetics.
I think they are very well made, and I think in the lay person, if he saw something like this, I think it could be easily passed through as a natural diamond. And that's the scary part.
Laboratories like IGI are working hard to keep up with the science of synthetics. They want to make sure they can always distinguish them from natural stones. But at the same time, the diamond certification labs recently made a big decision that could lead to greater acceptance of synthetics. Just last month, one influential lab announced that it will start issuing grading reports for man-made diamonds, rating them on what's called the four C's, color, clarity, cut, and carats, just like they do for natural diamonds. Consumers like to see these independent reports when they're shopping for gemstones, and this might make a shopper more likely to consider man-made diamond. But that doesn't mean the Diamond District is terribly worried about the competition.
If your husband or boyfriend came to you with a 3-carat natural diamond compared to a 5-carat synthetic diamond, which would you prefer?
Jerry Ehrenwald heads the IGI lab. He says other man-made gems, like emerald and rubies, haven't affected sales of natural stones. He thinks synthetics just don't capture people's imagination in the same way.
You can grow a synthetic diamond by order. You cannot go and order a natural diamond. What comes out of the earth as a gift to us from nature is a natural wonder.
Still, some people do prefer a technological wonder. Thousands have contacted Apollo Diamond. Bryant Linares says some of its potential customers will just want a diamond for a little less money. Others want a stone that's not linked to bloody civil wars or mining practices that dirty the environment.
They believe in the future of what a cultured diamond is because it's something that is it's environmentally conscious, it's socially conscious.
The company plans to promote its diamonds as man-made. It will laser inscribe each gem to make sure people know it's manufactured. But making pretty, guilt-free stones is not really the main goal. Other teams besides Apollo are working on growing diamond because they want to use its special powers for technology. Everyone knows diamonds are super hard, but Linares says diamonds also have unique optical and electrical properties. For example, computer chip manufacturers want to make faster chips, but that means more heat, which silicon can't handle. If the chips were made of diamond, the heat would be no problem.
Tech applications for diamond are really the massive future for diamond.
For the present, it's still a challenge to make a simple gemstone. For the last 3 years, Apollo has kept saying it's just about ready to make their stones widely available. Their stated goal is to make 500,000 carats a year. But so far, they've only sold to select clients on a very limited basis. And just try asking Linares how many diamonds they've produced so far.
That's proprietary.
I'm guessing it's nowhere close to 500,000.
That's correct. It's not, because this is very new technology. But we've produced enough that we understand the trajectory of the material, and getting to 500,000 carats on an annual basis is doable.
Linares insists that production is ramping up and that this will be the year they open up sales to more of the public. Nell Boyce, NPR News.
And you can see photographs of some of these cultured diamonds at our website, npr.org.